A service for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our text today is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is our text. And now a sermon entitled, Looking Forward to the Second Coming. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Something that seems to have gotten out of control is people using countless forms of media in order to mess with our minds. It's working, too. What has been accomplished is that we are more divided than ever, thanks to differing propaganda and conspiracy theories. Fake news claims leave us confused. The result is that we are filled with anxiety and are growing ever more depressed. We don't know what to believe. And now, with the artificial intelligence, people whom we consider to be reliable sources of information can have their identities stolen, resulting in video clips of them saying things that they never said, nor would they ever say. It's a mad mess out there that we all too easily allow access into our minds. In our text today from 2 Thessalonians, we learn that this sort of thing, confusing and upsetting people with fake information, was happening then in Thessalonica, and possibly in other places too. It was taking place among the Christians. Someone had stolen Paul's identity and both spoke and wrote words that were supposedly from him to them. In it, it was being claimed that the Lord Jesus had already returned and that these Christians were missing out on salvation. This caused no shortage of consternation among the faithful. It didn't jive with what Paul had told them himself, but the letter that they had received, which claimed to be by him, said otherwise. If this was true, then they were in trouble and wondered what it was they could do about it. if anything? They were very upset and confused. Once Paul became aware of what was happening, he wanted to set the record straight. What he then wrote to them is our text today. He said, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Though they may have heard this, and that this was from him, it simply wasn't true. Others, for whatever nefarious reasons, were spreading fake news and misinformation, doing so in his name, and thereby robbing the believers of peace, and what is worse, of their faith." Paul would combat this situation by his authentic letter, filled with truth. He told the faithful, "Let no one deceive you in any way." There were deceivers around then, just as there are now, who either get off or simply causing mischief, or figure out a way to profit from their deceptions. Paul then made it clear that they had not missed out on the second coming of Jesus. He lets them know, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that certain things would happen prior, things which, at that time at least, had not yet occurred. What Paul next had to say is a bit confusing to us, for we are missing information that the original audience likely had, resulting in us being uncertain of what he was exactly speaking about. He tells them how that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Apparently, there was one to come who would be like Judas and rebel against the truth of Jesus, and in this way betray our Lord. In so doing, this man would take his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Yes, we wish we had more background information to help us understand, like his original audience would have had. For he states, "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time." They were aware of some of Paul's oral teachings from back when he was with them, but we aren't, and that is why we are uncertain of who it is who had yet to appear on the scene. Since then, there have been many to whom we could point who, in different ways, fit this description. They are usually false religious leaders aligned with political powers who come up with new doctrines. There's a lot of cases of this sort of thing having happened in history since the time of Paul. He might have had in mind one of them, or even all of them. He may even have had in mind someone who is still in our future. We can't be certain. However, what we can be definite about is that the day of Jesus' second coming is a sure thing. There will be Resurrection Day, just as we weekly confess in the creeds. Some who didn't think there would ever be one was the Jewish sect of the Pharisees. That is why they came to Jesus with their trick question about the woman married to seven brothers, none with whom she had children. They asked, "In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be?" They thought that this carefully crafted inquiry would trip up Jesus. But it did not. He simply used it to teach us how it will be in the resurrection. He taught those who are considered worthy to attain to the age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. It turns out your marriage really is only until death you do part. And then Jesus went on to show that there is going to be a day of resurrection, quoting from Exodus, when in the passage about the bush, the Lord claims still to be the God of the deceased patriarchs. Jesus claimed that the Father is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. There will be a day of Jesus' second coming, the day of resurrection, and for that we want to be ready. And so that we would all be ready, graciously there was a first coming, when God took on human flesh. John 1:14 tells of how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus grew in stature and wisdom, teaching us many things about God's kingdom. He also performed a great number of miracles. When the time was right, he allowed the son of perdition, his very own disciple, Judas, to betray him. He was arrested by an angry mob. He was taken to the high priest, where he was tried. He was found guilty of blasphemy and handed over to the Romans. They crucified our Lord. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty that our sins have incurred. He took the whole awful mess of them, and he paid for them in full. We read in Colossians 2 how the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Jesus gave his life in order to pay the penalty of our sins, and we know that he succeeded, because on the third day he rose again from the dead. And now all who believe in him receive the forgiveness of sins. They are washed clean in baptismal waters. They are reborn to a new life now. It is also a life that will rise again from the dead, just as Jesus rose when he at last returns in glory. It's interesting how the Thessalonians were concerned that they might have missed out on the second coming of Christ, and with it the resurrection of the dead. That is why they were shaken in their minds and alarmed. They had fallen for some fake propaganda. But they hadn't missed out at all, for there was still a man of lawlessness doomed to perdition, another betrayer, first to come. Besides, we know something too. We know from Revelation 1 that when Jesus comes again, every eye will see him. We know from Jesus' own teachings in Matthew 24 that as lightning comes from the east and shines in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. All will know about his return. That is either a day to dread if you are not ready through repentance and faith, or a day to rejoice, for you will be ready and changed. For we read in Philippians 3 that he will then transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. The sad reality is that for now we live in a world in which others are eager to deceive us, either for their own amusement or towards a gainful end. Hopefully, we won't fall for every trick and deception. With the advent of artificial intelligence, this is only going to get more challenging. Hopefully, we can keep all that from filling us with anxiety and depression and prevent it from dividing us one from another. But today, we can be certain that there is no need to allow anyone or anything to deceive us as the Thessalonians were being deceived. The day of the Lord has not yet come. We have not missed out on the resurrection. Keep being ready for that day as you hold to the gospel of your salvation. And should you be one who does not know Christ or the power of his resurrection, then take to heart these words of Paul. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.